Americans have an average of 4 credit cards. Do you really need that many? And how many is enough? I am Rob West. Too often we hang on to credit cards we no longer use, providing an unnecessary invitation to identity thieves to run up charges in your name. Canceling them is a good idea if done properly. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That number is 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Christians should always take Proverbs 10:4 seriously. It reads, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." We certainly don't want to have a slack hand when managing credit cards. I know you agree because we get a lot of questions about credit cards, and two of them go something like this. If I close a credit card account, will it affect my score? And why does it affect my score? Your credit score will drop a little after closing an account. Most people are surprised by that because it seems like you're being punished for doing the right thing. But it really comes down to mathematics and complicated computer algorithms. To find out why your score drops, we'll have to simplify things. So first, a definition. An algorithm is just a set of rules that solve a problem in a limited number of steps. Algorithms live in computer models that give you more credit score points for having three things: long-standing accounts, more available credit, and more kinds of accounts, like a credit card, auto loan, and mortgage. If closing an account falls under one or more of those factors, your score goes down. So just remember, the longer you have an account open, the more credit you don't use, and the more types of accounts you have, well, the higher your score. In fact, those three factors make up 55% of your FICO score. Now, why is that? Well, it's simply because having old accounts, unused credit, and more kinds of accounts tells lenders that you're more likely to pay them back. But is this really something to worry about when you close an account? A slight drop in your credit score? Usually not. But there's one occasion when it could be important. If you're shopping for a mortgage or some other kind of loan, you want the highest score possible. Lowering your score by even a few points could put you in a lower range of scores, and that could affect the interest rate you get on the loan. A higher interest rate means money out of your pocket every month. But in most cases, when you're not seeking a loan, a slight drop in your credit score means very little. You'll quickly make that up if you keep the outstanding balances below 30% on remaining accounts and you make your payments on time. So you may be asking, why bother closing an account after you've paid it off, especially if it's going to cost you points on your credit score? Well, there are at least two good reasons. First, it eliminates the temptation to use it if you run into an unexpected financial problem. That's what your emergency fund is for, and you should use that money if the car breaks down or the water heater starts giving you cold showers. I've already mentioned the second reason to close an unused account. It's the constant threat of identity theft. If your account is hacked, it'll cause you a lot of headaches, especially if it's unused and you're not paying any attention to it. Now, even though I said go ahead and close an unused account and don't worry about your credit score, you don't want to close several of them at once, even though that would feel really good. Closing a bunch of accounts at once will multiply the negative effect on your score. The best way to close unused accounts is gradually, no more than one or two every 6 months. That way you spread out the negative impact while at the same time minimizing it by keeping low balances and making on-time payments with your other accounts. Now, here are the steps to closing an account and making sure it's closed. First, pay off any remaining balance. Then check any recurring charges on the account and cancel or transfer them. After that, call your card issuer and tell them to cancel the account. You may want to follow up by writing an email or letter to your credit card issuer to confirm your card's been canceled. Finally, double-check your credit reports at all three credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, to make sure the account's been closed. You can get them for free at annualcreditreport.com. Okay, so that's why you should close an unused account and how you should do it. And again, don't worry about how it affects your score. Hey, have you checked out our new FaithFi app? You can use it to manage your money and get a clear picture into your spending and perhaps make sure it's going where you want it to. You can learn more at faithfi.com. Just click app. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Skygazers had an amazing opportunity a few months ago, a total solar eclipse. A great educational opportunity for kids, but with one caveat. Don't look directly at the sun. It will hurt your eyes. Well, the light of the sun also points us to a greater glory. The Apostle Paul describes this in 1 Timothy 6. He says, God is the one who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. His glory is brighter than the sun, and we cannot possibly look at him or even stand in his presence, which is why we need Jesus. And when we see him, we also see the Father. And you'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Try out Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, I'm so glad to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you today. We're about to turn the corner and take your calls on anything financial, whether you want to continue the conversation on credit cards and how you should think about paying off credit card debt, how those credit cards affect your credit score, specifically related to our opening topic today of closing unused cards, or anything in between. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call today with lines open is 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. Also coming up a little later in the broadcast today, Bob Dahl will stop by. Bob joins us each Monday with his market commentary. New inflation data out. We'll find out what that's saying for the markets. Also, growth in the markets has seemed to start rotating outside the U.S. What are the implications on that? And in Bob's investment commentary for the week, he's saying that global equity returns are destined to moderate in the next decade ahead. So perhaps overall growth rates slightly lower than what we've seen over the past, let's say, two decades. We'll find out what Bob's thinking there and how that might require you to adjust your expectations and planning for your own investments. That's ahead with Bob Dahl a little later in
in the broadcast. Again, two lines open. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Before we dive in today, you know, as we think about biblical financial wisdom and we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions and choices, you know, I think there are some big themes that we need to understand as it relates to God's economy versus man's economy. That first and most foundational idea is the idea of lordship, that we need to surrender to the fact that God owns everything. Psalm 24:1 is clear. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So we begin by transferring ownership because it's already his. But in our minds and hearts, there are real implications to that transfer of ownership. You might think about it in terms of signing a quitclaim deed over to God, recognizing, okay, God, it's all yours, and therefore I'm your money manager. That has real implications. The second big idea that comes right on the heels of that beyond lordship is stewardship. It's the idea that we use God's resources to fulfill his purposes. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care for it. We're to exercise dominion over the earth, to take God's creation and improve it and order it, and to take whatever has been entrusted to us and seek to be found faithful. So it's lordship, it's stewardship. I think the third big idea right on the heels of that is generosity. That we recognize sharing with others releases the world's grip on us. And I think we could look to the example of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians 8. It said, out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You see, they understood who owned it. They understood they were stewards, and they understand that part of what God has entrusted us wealth for relates to our ability to give and to give generously. So those are just three big ideas that I think can shape the way you handle God's money. They're simple, much harder to live out. We want to help you do that each day on this program. In fact, let's do that as we tackle the questions that you have today in your financial life. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in. We'll begin in Mississippi today. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. Hey, so just wanted to kind of give, I'm assuming this is correct, some tip. So when you're looking at closing credit cards or getting rid of credit cards, you need to, if you're going to keep one open, keep the one you've had the longest, because that has the most weight of your credit score. So, like, you know, just so, I mean, well, it's good practice to keep one open, period. And I don't just use it to buy gas, something, just maybe once a month, something just in general. So it shows you have a revolving credit, you have a long-standing credit card that you've had for decades. So, in other words, so example, let's say I had two credit cards, one I had open for a year, one I had open for, let's say, 12 years. I'm going to keep the one that has 12 years on it.
Yeah. It's a great point, Andrew. I'm glad you raised this. You know, when we look at how, let's say, the FICO score is calculated, FICO is not the only one. There's others out there, but FICO is one of the most well-known. They provide, although they don't give you the algorithm, they do provide kind of the big buckets, the categories that make up your FICO score. And to Andrew's point, the length of credit history is 15% of your score. So when a person's oldest and most recent accounts were opened is what makes up that credit history and when they were last used. And so, yeah, all things being equal, you want to keep the older accounts. Now, if the older account happens to be one where you're paying a large annual fee, well, you're going to have to weigh that. But all things being equal, we want to keep those older accounts. That's going to show more longevity, and it's 15% of your score. So that's a great point. If you're going to close one, I would opt for the one that you opened most recently. Thanks for your call, sir. 800-525-7000 to Virginia. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hi, I recently got a letter from the IRS that I have a retirement fund in another state. I completely forgot about it. I've lived in several states. I tried to reach out to the employment, the business. They gave me a number to call. They said they don't handle it. They gave me another number to call. I've called like three or four numbers, and I can't locate my account. Should I be concerned about that? Or since the IRS got the letter, will they just handle that for me?
Yeah, the question, I guess, the first question is, who's the letter from? Is it coming from the IRS?
Yes. They
and what are they
that
saying?
It had been filed with them.
Okay. What had been
My
filed with them? A
1099? That I had a retirement fund.
I see.
A 1099. Okay.
And are they saying taxes are due for gains or something?
No. They just, it was like an acknowledgement letter that they had received a 1099 from this employment for a retirement fund of this amount.
Got it. And you're familiar, obviously, with the employer that this would be coming from. Is that right? It's one of your previous employers?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yes.
And did you reach out to the HR department or the plan administrator from that employee to try to chase it down?
I did. And they gave me a number, said it was located in another city.
Okay.
And I called there, and they said, no, we don't handle that here. And they gave me another number, and I called that number. No, we don't handle retirement funds here. I can't seem to find out who handles these accounts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can understand your frustration there. I would go back to the company that you worked for in that HR department. I mean, they've got undoubtedly, I mean, they deal with this every day. And even though this may be a previous plan administrator, everything should have been rolled forward to that new plan administrator, and they should be able to tell you very quickly who to contact that handles their retirement accounts. Now, I mean, there is a national registry of unclaimed retirement benefits. You could do a search for that, but that's going to take you a bit on a you know, somewhat of a wild goose chase. It's unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. I mean, you could do a quick search there and just see what comes up. But I would really press this with your former employer and say, listen, I've got an old account there. I need to get that rolled out to an IRA, and I need you to help me. And the number that you're giving me is, you know, the person is telling me they can't help me. So I need you to help me to get to the right person, because they should be the one to help you navigate this. You shouldn't be kind of left out there to your own devices. So again, unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. But I would really press the issue with your previous employer. And you're going to get there. Hang in there. We appreciate your call. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
I hope your week is off to a good start. I'm so glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We started today by talking about unused credit cards and how you can close those out, do in a way that doesn't impact your credit, but credit score, that is, but also recognizing probably not a good idea to hang on to those cards unnecessarily, because it's just one more account that could be compromised, one more account that you need to keep up with and just make sure there are no transactions on there fraudulently, and much more beyond that, not to mention the fact that that's just unused credit that's been extended to you that's being factored in to your credit scoring algorithm as well. Let's head back to the phones. By the way, if you have a question today on any topic, 800-525-7000, you can call right now. Let's go to Shauna in Texas. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
I had a question. I was listening earlier to you talking about how to close accounts and recommended that we contact the credit bureaus to verify that they had in fact been closed. I attempted to get my credit reports a few months ago. I don't remember if it was Equifax transaction, which started with it was Equifax.
Okay. We're losing you just a little bit there, Shauna. Maybe move one direction or the other, see if we can get a better signal. But you wanted to close some accounts. You wanted to verify that they were closed. You contacted the bureau. And what happened at that point? All right, we're losing you. Let's see if we can put you on hold and clear that line up. Here's what I would say to you, though, if we're not able to speak again. I would just say a great place to get those credit reports is at annualcreditreport.com. Again, that's annualcreditreport.com. And that might be the place to go for you to find where or to get that free credit report to be able to check that out. I would look there today. Also, the idea behind taking a look at that credit report is just to make sure that your intention to close those accounts actually played out the way you expected. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Tom, who's holding patiently in Rhode Island. How can we help?
Hi, thank you. Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Yes.
As I told the call screener, I'm pushing 80 years old. I'd like to close a bunch of accounts. I almost don't even care about my credit score at this point.
Okay.
But how much of a hit does it put on my credit to close if I wanted to close three or four accounts?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a big deal, Tom. The biggest issue is the potential change in credit utilization, but I suspect that doesn't apply to you. Are you carrying any balances on any of these accounts?
Well, I have a couple balances, but I primarily use my ATM card, and okay. We've been doing some remodeling on the house, so as soon as I get caught up, I'll be paying those couple cards off in the next month or two.
Okay.
But I have some airline accounts, that I got flyer miles for.
Yeah.
These things cost a couple hundred dollars a year to even keep open,
Yeah, I would wipe those out. I mean, the two primary issues that would affect you when you're closing an account, the first is credit utilization. So let's say, you're carrying $5,000 in credit in debt until you pay it off because of the renovations. And let's say you have, $30,000 available to you across all of the cards. Well, you don't want to go above, 30% of the limit. So if all of a sudden, you know, your limit or 30% of that $30,000 in available credit was $9,000, so you're well below that in my example. But let's say all of a sudden now that $30,000 that was available to you because you closed a bunch of accounts is now $10,000, and now you're 50% of that limit in the aggregate. So now your credit utilization, you know, just went from, you know, a pretty small number to now all of a sudden it's 50% of your total available credit. That would be the primary thing that would pull your score down. But to your point, I mean, in your season of life, you're not out looking to buy a house or a car or take on new debt. Your credit score really doesn't matter. I think the bigger issue for me is that you're paying hundreds of dollars in annual fees for cards you don't use. So I would probably, you know, go ahead and close those immediately and not look back. Does that make sense?
It surely does. And that figure you just threw out about the 30%, so I'm just going to do a little math and make sure I'm below that, my debt to income or debt to credit ratio, and then I can proceed from there. So I truly appreciate this program. We listen to AFR all the time, and that's where we get you. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, so glad you called, Tom. Please call anytime if we can be of assistance to you. May the Lord bless you. Let's go back out to Texas. Hi, Brandon. How can we help you, sir?
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling because I'm in me and my wife were in some credit card debt about like $8,500 and as well as a vehicle payment. And I was just calling to see what would be the best way to approach that. I was thinking of opening a new card just to have the interest-free payments. But her grandma had mentioned to me like a credit card relief program. I just wasn't too sure if that was if that would be bad on my credit history or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Brandon. You know, the biggest thing, the starting point is for you and your wife to solve whatever got you into the credit card debt in the first place. And that has to be a balanced budget. And that's a budget that's realistic, not the if everything goes perfectly budget, but the budget that takes into account, you know, you have non-recurring expenses that come up. So you might have a semi-annual insurance payment, and then you got Christmas once a year, and you got some family gifts that don't hit every month, but they come up. You got to get everything in the budget, and we've got to right-size your spending. We've got to get your spending down in line with your income so you have a surplus, and you've got to build up an emergency fund. Now, until you get that credit card debt taken care of, let's only build the emergency fund up to, let's say, $1,000. And then whatever you can free up in your budget by eliminating expenses, maybe you're cutting some subscriptions and you're, you know, eating out less, then we apply 100% of that to debt reduction. Now, with this kind of balance, I'd recommend credit counseling. This is called debt management. It might have been what your grandmother was referring to. I would go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They're going to leave the debt right there. They're going to get the interest rates down. You're going to send one level monthly payment, and you're going to pay it off 80% faster by doing that. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Let's talk a bit more in the break. Wesley, coming your way after the break. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio. And find out what's really going on in the world.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl stops by with his weekly investment commentary. We're starting to see growth rotate outside the U.S. What does that mean for your investing strategy? China is trying to export its way out of an economic slowdown. We'll talk to Bob about that. And finally, Bob's calling for moderated equity returns, that is stock market returns, over the next decade, perhaps less than what we saw over the previous 20 years. We'll get Bob's take on that as well. Let me just follow up, too, before we head back to the phones on my conversation with Brandon before the break. He and I had a chance to chat during the break. Brandon's got $8,500 in credit card debt. He and his wife would like to get out of it so they can buy a house. We talked about the importance of getting on a budget, resolving the lifestyle creep that often leads to that debt, living beyond your means as the essential starting point. But instead of using the balance transfer game, which I realize that 0% interest is enticing, it just so often I've seen it doesn't solve the real underlying problem because it takes the pressure off. Now you lose your incentive to get it paid off and you just perpetuate this cycle of overspending. Instead, I recommend for somebody who has more than, let's say, $4,000 in credit card debt, I recommend ChristianCreditCounselors.org. It's a debt management program. The interest rates are cut in half or more. You'll make one level monthly payment, typically around 3% of the balance each month. But the key is with that level payment and the lower interest rates, you're going to pay it off about 80% faster. In terms of the effect on your credit score, it's not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. Now, it could be notated on your report that you're in debt management, so you just need to know that. But what's far more important to me is that you get out of debt, and that's going to help you be better positioned to, you know, get a mortgage anyway, because now all of a sudden that's not debt service that's being counted against you. So Christian Credit Counselors is the place that I would go for folks out there listening today who have credit card debt and you want to get out once and for all. All right, let's head back to the phones. Shauna is in Texas. Shauna, we were talking earlier and we lost you there. I'm glad you're back. How can I help you further?
I don't know at what point it cut us off, but I wanted to clarify what I was asking.
Great.
I had tried to contact the credit bureaus to get my credit report as you suggested. What I got back was a response electronically that said, we can't verify your information, so we cannot provide your free credit report. Nothing has changed. I lived in the same place for decades.
Yeah.
Same address, same phone number, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I had two concerns. What do I do in order to get my free credit reports from the three credit bureaus? And how am I going to be sure that whoever was requesting all this information saying they couldn't give it to me was not somehow pirated or hacked and someone else besides the credit bureaus?
Yeah, it's a great question, Shauna. And I realize the questions that are being asked are somewhat alarming because they're pretty invasive questions. And it's pretty easy to get tripped up on those. And I'm not saying you answered any of them incorrectly, but, you know, when all of a sudden you're being asked, hey, what was the street address the numerical street address of a home you've owned at any point in your life. I know for me, you know, it causes me to stop for a second and say, wait a minute, is that one of mine? And often the answer is none of these. So it can be challenging when you have to try to go through those challenge questions to prove your identity. Here's the key. I would go to annualcreditreport.com. And as long as you're typing in that URL directly, you're not clicking a link that takes you there after a Google search or an internet search, annualcreditreport.com, I would trust that. That's the government's website that has the connectivity to each of the three bureaus. The other approach is just going directly to Equifax.com, TransUnion.com, and Experian.com. But Annual Credit Report is the only website that will give you the free reports, and you go to one place and you get all three. Now, you are going to have to be willing to go through that process of answering those questions. And there's a lot of them. And again, you're giving out some sensitive information, but as long as you're not on public Wi-Fi, you're doing that from your home and you're going directly to that URL, I'm comfortable with that because that really is the way to access it. Does that all make sense, though?
It does.
Okay. So that's where I would go from here as your next step. And then you're going to get those reports. And once you do, you just want to scan those. I recommend, pulling maybe one report, unless you want to go ahead and get all three now. I'd typically pull one report every 3 months. So that way, four times a year, you're getting that report, you're reviewing it, you're looking for primarily anything that you don't recognize. Is there an account that they say you have that you've never heard of, or a balance that seems not right, or they're showing you have delinquencies that you just don't remember having? So those are the kinds of things that you're looking for, inaccurate information. When you get that, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And thanks for calling back today. Let's go out to Alabama. Hi, Derek. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, sir.
Okay, question. I have an 18-year-old daughter getting ready to go back to college next year. She's thinking about getting an apartment.
All right.
So my question to you is, what is the best way to build her credit? Is it to add her on to my credit card or try to get her own credit card just so she can get an apartment in her own name?
Yeah. And how quickly is she looking to get this apartment?
Next year when she go back to college.
Okay, so just a few months from now?
So probably about, two months or so in August.
Yeah, the challenge is, Derek, I mean, it's going to take time to build credit. Now, in a college town, they're used to that, right? And so this will not be unfamiliar territory, but you're really looking for what are the right best practices to begin to build credit over time that allow her, to start to build that credit score so that when she's ready to go out and buy that car, or something else, going out to get a job and they're pulling her credit, that, she's not suffering from a lack of credit, which is often, what's going on when you're 18. A couple of thoughts on that. Number one is you could, in fact, make her an authorized user of your account. Now, a couple of things you need to know there. Number one is you will need to probably, I would recommend not giving her one of those cards. So you're simply doing it so she starts to inherit your credit history, because as an authorized user, she will ultimately receive the credit history related to your account. Now, keep in mind, she's going to receive the good history and the bad, meaning if you have a late payment, that's going to hit her account and it's going to hurt her worse because she doesn't have very much credit. Number two is if you're carrying balances, let's say you're up more than 30% of the limit, that's going to hurt her because the credit utilization is high. But if you've got some cards or a card where you've got low balances or no balances, and you're always on time and that's never been an issue before and you understand the implications, you absolutely could add her as an authorized user and she'll start to inherit some of that credit history. Second option is she could get a secured credit card where she puts down a deposit on the account. And so let's say $200 or $300, they issue a credit a card against it. And then she could put a recurring budgeted charge on that card every month. Let's say there's a subscription that it's in her budget. She goes to the gym. She's $16 a month. She was planning on paying for that. Well, just put it as an auto charge on that card. It hits the card. She goes in and pays it off. And now she's starting to establish some positive credit history. The reason it's secured is if with that lack of credit, if she can't qualify for an unsecured card, you know, that's going to give them the ability to extend that, you know, card to her even without the credit history, because if she doesn't pay it, they can always grab the money out of that account on deposit. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does. It really does.
All right. NerdWallet.com or Bankrate.com would allow you to search among the various secured credit card providers and find the one that's the best fit for you. They rank them every month. You also could look at unsecured cards that are specifically for college students. There's a number of them out there. I've got a freshman in college, and I've gotten at least two dozen in the last 3 months. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I got to kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We'll probably have room for one or two more questions before we round out the broadcast today, 800-525-7000. But first, here on a Monday, we're joined each week by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer, CIO at Crossmark Global Investments, and he joins us each week with his market commentary. Bob, top of the week to you, sir.
And you, my friend.
Great to have you here. Bob, you covered a lot, as you always do, in this week's Dahl's Deliberations. I want to hit on a few key points. One was related to the Fed's favorite inflation indicator. Give us an update.
Yeah, their favorite inflation indicator, as stated by the Fed chair, is the year-over-year core PCE. It's not all that divorced from the CPI. There are some differences, but that number came in year over year at up 2.8%. Now, that's down a lot from the highs of a few years ago, Rob, but it's not making progress. It's gotten stuck as it tries to head to the Fed's goal of 2% and doesn't look like it's going to get there anytime soon.
Bob, just drawing from history, for you personally, I mean, could you get comfortable with that number, or do you feel like that's problematic long term?
No, I can get used to a number of let's call it 3% inflation instead of 2. Now, as an investor, you have to ask, well, what is the market expecting? And with reasonably low interest rates and, more importantly, pretty high valuations, P.E. ratios on stocks, there'd have to be an adjustment. In other words, if you and I called up the stock market, quote unquote, and said, guys, inflation is going to be 3, not 2. The stock market said, yeah, give us a few minutes, and it would react by going down in valuation. So that's a big issue for investors.
Yeah, and let's dovetail off of that to one of the comments you made around global equity returns moderating in the decade ahead. Give us a bit more color on that. First of all, what do you think that moderation looks like in the decade ahead versus the previous two decades? And then what does that mean for the average investor just in terms of their own retirement planning, let's say?
And my guess is the U.S. stock market over the next bunch of years, 5 to 10, maybe 15, 5, maybe 6% total return, a lot lower than we've been used to. Remember, Rob, practically speaking, there are only two ways for stocks to go up. One, profits go up, or two, the valuation on those profits go up. And when we observe that corporate profits are already elevated, corporate profit margins are high, and valuations are full, it's hard to argue that either of them are going to, quote, work overtime to give us strong returns. So we can still make money, but we're going to have to be in the right stocks. And that's a lot harder episode than what we experienced in the last couple of decades.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Bob, you also had some comments today just about the U.S. dollar and talking about seeing some growth rotating outside the U.S., putting pressure on the dollar. Give us a bit more on that, and then what are the implications for the U.S. economy on that?
Sure. So the U.S. dollar has done reasonably well for quite some time now, as you know, as we're starting to see economic growth pick up outside the U.S. in a lot of places and begin to slow here in the U.S., that's often a period where the dollar comes under pressure, particularly given that it's fairly fully valued measure lots of different ways. So that would obviously change the perspective on how expensive our goods overseas if the dollar would weaken some, and has impact, obviously, for relative inflation rates as well. Currencies are very complicated and among the hardest things to A, understand, and B, forecast, but investors need to take that into account because we're not societies that are with closed borders.
Yeah. And Bob, there's nothing kind of imminent on the horizon with regard to the U.S. Dollar being replaced as the de facto reserve currency or anything related to that that causes you any kind of real concern. Is that right?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Rob. I get that question a lot. The U.S. may not be in a position where we're earning the reserve currency of the world, but the rest of the world's problems from a currency standpoint are bigger than ours. Think about the euro. Many consider it an experiment still. The Japanese yen, with the age of the population, unlikely. The Chinese yuan is not broad enough and deep enough. So there have been some attempts at, as you know, baskets of currencies for the reserve currency of the world, but they've not really stuck either. So by default, the U.S. dollar limps across the finish line as the reserve currency of the world.
Yeah, we look in our rearview mirror and everybody else is a little worse off than we are. And I guess one of the challenges is, I mean, even when we look at BRICS, I mean, anything that involves Russia and China, you've got to be trusted on the world stage to have this status, right?
Here, here. And while the U.S. may not be trusted as much as it was 10 and 20 years ago, it's still trusted more than most places on a relative basis.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, we appreciate your thoughts, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Have a great week.
You too. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones quickly to Ohio. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. We talked before. I have a question for you.
Sure.
I'm sitting on like 5 acres that I was looking at doing a lot split.
Right.
And the home I'm currently is part of that. And I've got enough road frontage to be able to build a smaller home for my my final home. And I wanted to downsize a little bit. So I was wondering how we would work that out financially. I'd like to stay in my home currently until I get the other property developed.
Okay.
Would I just continue that loan? And then how would that go about?
Yeah, are you talking about in terms of borrowing money for the construction?
Yeah, the thing is, if I sell this home, I'm going to have enough capital to build the other home.
Okay.
So that would be out of debt completely.
Sure. And so you've got a couple of options. I mean, the first option is you go ahead and sell the home and do the work to divide it up, and then you rent it back for a period of time for as long as it takes you to build out that new property, if your buyer will allow you to do that. And that would be obviously one of the key considerations. The other is you get a construction loan and you build it out. And then upon the completion of it, you're ready to go ahead and split out and divide the land at that point. And then you sell the property or whatever parcel you've split off that you're going to let go of and then pay off that mortgage. Which is one of those sound like a better fit for you?
Well, I'd just like to stay in my home and go ahead and get the lot split done. I've already done my investigations on that, and I've got approval for the lot split. And, okay, of course, you got your septic system and all that, and I've sure got permits for that. And everything's ready to go. I just have to clear the land. It's a wooded area. Just have to clear the land. I got a guy to do that. So everything's been thought through, okay, and prepared for, except for the sale. And I just don't want to have to go rent a place and move everything twice.
Yeah. You know, no, I agree with that. Here, I think the key would either be you sell it with the understanding that you could rent your own home back from the new buyer for a period of time, or the probably more safe option, if you can pull it off financially, is you stay right there. You've already done the hard work to hire the surveyor and map out the boundaries and all the infrastructure. So you get that done and you go ahead and get a construction loan that covers the cost of the infrastructure plus that new construction, with their understanding you're going to have to service that debt until you get it completed, get your place sold, and you know, now you're ready to pay it off and enjoy that smaller place in retirement.
Right. Is there any capital credits if I make money on this above and beyond the construction that I'd be responsible for?
Well, I mean, you would, because this is your primary residence, for the sale of this property, you would, you know, be able to claim that exclusion for up to $500,000 if you're married, on gains. And so that would be a benefit to you for sure.
Okay. Okay. I thought I'd end up owing Uncle's.
No, I mean, you can have $250,000 in profit as a single person, $500,000 in profit as a married person, so long as it's been your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years. So hopefully that helps you, sir. It sounds like a great plan. You've thought it through well, and if we can help further along the way, let us know. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, before we round out the broadcast today, here in the month of June, this is the last month of our fiscal year. So our budget year here at FaithFi ends June the 30th. So this is a really important time for us to hear from those who have really become a part of the FaithFi family. And what we're most interested in is life change, how you're taking these principles and applying them each and every day in your lives for the glory of God. In fact, let's listen to one of those stories right now.
I was listening to your show the other day, and you had Ron Blue. You were talking to him about he was helping out one of his children who had become a single parent. And I so related to that because I had the same experience when my kids were 2, 4, and 6. And I was left to bring them up on my own and provide for them. And it was very difficult, but I made it out on the other end. And I thought that if I gave my testimony, it may be an inspiration to somebody else. I used to tell my children when they wanted something, we couldn't afford it, that we were storing our treasures in heaven. And they didn't really like that all the time. But
sure.
But we struggled and we went through things. But our home group that we were a part of came together. They provided Christmas gifts for my children for a number of years and just were a great support to me. And wasn't always financially, but just being there to help me. So I would encourage somebody to stay very well connected in your church with a small group or something, so you have that support system around you. That was over 30 years ago, and I'm in a lot better place financially and spiritually now. But looking back, it was very difficult, but my children and I made it through.
Wow, it's incredible. Well, folks, that's what it's all about. We're so thankful for those of you who share your stories with us. Listen, if you'd like to ensure that others like you and this caller be able to experience God's wisdom for their financial decisions, you can support our work at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com and click give before December 31st would be a huge blessing to us as we finish out our year. A big thanks to Austin, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.